All right, so now that takes us, after the All-Star break, that takes us up to the trade deadline, which is about a month after the All-Star break this year. Maybe closer to like 3 weeks. So, what are going to be the big trades this season? We'll start with, Big Shot Ron, you already said you expect Dwight Howard to be moved, and I'm assuming you have him going to the Lakers.
I have, but let's assume that, you know, because, you know, Dwight changes his mind faster than a teenage girl. So, let's assume that doesn't happen. I think the Monte Ellis thing in Golden State that you touched on earlier basically forces him out for like 30 cents on the dollar. And he may not make it, I believe, until February 1st.
Okay.
If he doesn't get moved, I think Memphis has a decision to make with Rudy Gay. And the reason is because they re-signed Gasol. They got Randolph on big paper. They're going to have money that's going to have to leave at some point. And I think Rudy Gay, depending on how their season starts, is that guy to leave. So those are the two trades I look for.
Okay, interesting. So here's my question about Monte Ellis. How long has this thing been going on between him and this Erica Smith? It's been going on for like a year, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Here's my question then. If the organization knew about it, why didn't they trade him last season? Like, why did they wait for her to sue?
Maybe they didn't like his trade value last season.
Well, like Big Shot Ron said, it's only going to get worse now.
Yeah, that's true.
Because, and I'm afraid you might correct me, because wasn't the deal on the table at one point, and this shows you how his value must have been pretty bad then, wasn't it to be in like a first round pick?
something like that. Yeah, it was something ridiculous like that.
Like, or O.J. Mayo, and it was, so if that was what Pete teams were offering them last year.
No, and I remember last year I was livid when I heard that he could be gotten by the Bulls for Taj Gibson. Now, I know Taj Gibson's a nice player, but, you know, Taj Gibson for Monte Ellis, I remember when I heard that, I was like, you got to be kidding me.
Well, there's got to be other pieces of that, though, because the salaries don't match, because Gibson's
right,
on a rookie
contract.
Right, but
that was basically the main crux of that
deal. Yeah, it was. Wow. Taj Gibson was the best player the Bulls were going to have to give up. It wasn't anything major. So if his trade value was that last year, with this hanging over his head, it's got to be like two basketball cards and a stick of gum if that's what it was last year.
Interesting. All right, so Alfredo, I'm going to give you a choice. You can go with a Dwight Howard trade prediction, a Deron Williams trade prediction, or with the other.
I'm going to go other, and I think it's the Lakers. The Lakers are on the trade deadline. I'm going to have some choices to make. Either they're going to go all in for Dwight Howard, or if they're good enough, they're going to try to make a temporary move. And I keep hearing this, especially from their fans, but supposedly if the Trailblazers are not in mid-pack or they're at the bottom of the Western Conference for, you know, an 8th seed or a 7th seed, that they're prepared to just start, you know, sending everybody out. A really nice piece for a contender will be Gerald Wallace. Would he fit on the Lakers? You know, what's enough to get a Gerald Wallace and maybe something else? Maybe Bynum finds his way there. I think all of these fantasies of Bynum getting you Dwight Howard, I think, are just that. It's a fantasy. I think his real trade value gets realized sometime this year. And he gets traded for a temporary piece for the playoff push to make room for Dwight Howard as a outright free agent in the offseason.
All right, wait. So let me get that again. So you have what's your trade? Is it Gerald Wallace or is it Bynum or both?
I got Bynum getting traded for a temporary piece for the playoffs, and then having that cap space get removed in favor of Dwight Howard signing as a free agent in LA next season.
Oh wait, all right. So you got the Lakers trading Bynum for Gerald Wallace, and then not signing Gerald Wallace when he becomes a free agent in the summertime, and then signing
right.
Dwight Howard instead.
Yeah, I think that they're gonna think to themselves, you know what? If we have Kobe, Gerald Wallace, and Gasol, it might be enough to get out of the West. And they'll make that move because worst comes to worst. You know, best case scenario, you make it to the final. Worst case scenario, you're going to have the cap space for Dwight Howard in the offseason.
Okay, that's creative. That's creative. All right, I think it's going to be, like I said, it's either... I'm confident that, again, Kobe's going to threaten David Stern's life at the All-Star game, and that's going to get the Lakers Dwight Howard. if that doesn't happen, Kobe gets suspended for the rest of the season, and then all bets are off. I don't know what the hell happens next. I noticed nobody took any bait on Darren Williams. Does that mean you got, you know, both you guys think he's staying in New Jersey, or you think he's just going to kick Mikhail Prokhorov in the nuts and walk away at the end of the season?
I think he's a forgotten guy. Like, I have no idea where he'll end up.
Big shot, Ron?
I think the summer of 2010 was just too tempting for all these guys now, and everybody wants to go through the process. So I think Darren Williams, if you're a team trading for Darren Williams, you do it at your own risk, because I think he's going to give no one any assurances that he's going to re-up with anybody. So I think he stays, and the Nets take their chances with him in the summer that you can convince him to stay.
Okay. That's very interesting. All right, so next up is, I'm calling this either the whammy or AKA Twitter will blow up when. So this is the off-the-court scandal that's going to have everybody talking across all social networks. I'll go first to give you guys an example of what I'm talking about. I think Derrick Rose will be exposed as a sexual deviant this season.
Why we got to do that?
I'm going to tell you why.
Really, this is what we going to do? Okay.
I'm going to tell you why. And I wasn't going to bring this up. But what made me decide to bring it up was I was downstairs in my lobby talking to the doorman last night, and he asked me if I saw Derrick Rose's press conference. Now, this guy's a Knicks fan. He asked me if I saw Derrick Rose's press conference signing a new contract. I said, yeah. And he says, what'd you think about him saying he's not sure if he deserves to be the first person from his neighborhood to make that kind of money? And I'm telling you, my jaw hit the floor, because that was it struck me like a lightning bolt when I saw it too. I don't, you know, all of this humbleness and him questioning whether or not he should be the first person in the neighborhood to get that contract, to going back to the Eastern Conference Finals when he said he didn't know what he could do against LeBron. I think Derrick Rose got self-esteem problems. And I think he takes care of, he medicates those self-esteem problems with these. You hear the rumors about the prostitutes in Memphis. There was that story a couple years ago where he showed up to a game or to the facility where he had cut his hand mysteriously. He said he just was clumsy and dropped a knife. I think first he got cut by some prostitute he tried to stiff. I don't know what's going on with Derrick Rose, but it all smells like Kobe to me. And I think it blows up. That's my off-the-wall prediction this season, that it blows up on Derrick Rose. The money's too much pressure. It all goes to shit this season for Derrick Rose.
You would absolutely love that happen. I can hear the joy in your voice even talking about it.
I actually don't want it to happen, because it just ruins the playoffs. Because the Heat, I mean, David Stern is already destroying the competition for the Heat in the finals. The last thing I need him to do is destroy, you know, the East too. But all right, that's all I can come up with. Alfredo, what's your Twitter will blow up win prediction?
Wow! I really gotta think. You know, put Big Shot Ron on this, because I'm thinking of one right now.
All right, Big Shot Ron, you get to hit me back.
I'll give you not as well. It's still salacious. If the Rockets are not able to, because the Rockets are trying like hell to move Kevin Martin, everyone knows it, and it did happen when the Chris Paul deal gets squashed.
Right.
If they're not able to move Kevin Martin for something good, I believe Daryl Morey, who we know loves Twitter and loves to talk, says, screw it. I'm going to tell y'all everything that happened when the Chris Paul trade originally got botched. I'm going to tell you the names. I'm going to tell you who lied. I'm going to give you every email conversation that happened during that trade to prove that the commish lied. It's been kind of real subtle, like, you know, we're not going to talk. Our legal team has not advised us not to talk. If Daryl Morey doesn't get what he wants, I'm telling everything.
I like that. I agree with that 100%. Because you can tell, you know, nobody leaks more stuff to the media than Daryl Morey, and he's the biggest media darling of all NBA GMs since Kevin Pritchard got fired. They love Daryl Morey. And I agree with you 100%. It's only a matter of time before he starts leaking stories out. You know, they already got the Houston Chronicle already had that one leak. You know, explaining how Morey and Les Alexander were pissed off. I completely agree. Either they got to get a number one draft pick, like they got to get the first pick in the draft, or something. Or I agree. Morey's putting it all out there. Alfredo, what you got?
Okay, I was thinking about this, and I got it. We all know David Stern and Mark Cuban have been before. Mark Cuban got his championship. I think David Stern gets his revenge. And very, very soon, as soon as the season ends with the Mavs losing in the Western Conference Finals, we are going to hear for the first time that a commissioner is going to ban one team from gaining a free agent in the offseason because the Mavericks will be accused of tampering on Deron Williams. And they will be fined and have draft picks taken away.
Well, you know, it wouldn't be the first time, right? Because the Heat got slapped with the Juwan Howard thing.
Yeah, but that was because we fudged the numbers for the salary cap.
Well, here's my question about that. Do we know that to be true, or do we know that's what Stern said?
Well, it was true. It was true. We forgot to report. He's supposed to turn in a report every single year. We turned in a report that did not include a bonus for Tim Hardaway of $150,000 that we paid out. Those $150,000 would have put us over the cap, and we would have not been able to sign Juwan Howard. And because of that, they killed the deal.
Yeah, see. I find it hard to believe that Stern killed a nine-figure deal over 150 grand.
Mm-hmm. But that was the excuse.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying. I think he did it because Abe Pollin was his boy. But mm-hmm. I digress. All right, that's a good one.
I agree with you. I know Dwight Howard is trying to engineer this move the way he wants it, and Deron Williams kind of don't know. One of these two guys is not going to get to go where they want to. I think if it's Stern, they're going to figure out a way, or these owners, however they do it, Dan Gilbert and crew, one of them is not going where they want to. Watch.
I agree. I think that's what I'm saying. Like, we did the Alfredo and I talked about it last week on the HeatCast. You know, this is just the beginning, and this is why I think Heat fans should be worried, because when the Heat get, you know, it's in the commissioner's powers to make moves that he considers to be in the best interest for the league. And so when the Heat become an older team, right, you need to get some more help after, like, you know, the Wayne Wade, LeBron, and Bosh's contracts expire, and they start trying to bring in, high power veterans to kind of keep the dynasty going. What's going to stop the commissioner from putting the kibosh on that, just like he did put the kibosh on the Chris Paul joint? So I think it's all possible.
Well, something I didn't bring up in that podcast that, you know, I remembered after the podcast was they'll take advantage of the new CBA and that restructure clause, and they'll just restructure the big three contracts.
Yeah, but
to gain more cap space.
Yeah, I know, but we're talking about Stern just saying no, regardless.
We'll see.
All right. This takes us to the end of the season. So let's talk about winners, losers, pretenders, and snoozers. So the winners are the title contenders. I think we all agree that's the Heat and the Bulls in the East. And in the West, everybody seems to say OKC. Is there any other title contender out West? Big Shot Ron, we'll start with you.
Despite the fact that I don't like what they did, I still think the Mavericks have enough skill. Maybe they lost. They're not as tough. They're not as, you know, battle tested, whatever you want to terms you want to use. I think Dallas is still skilled enough that they can make the Western Conference Finals, where they in turn lose to OKC.
Okay. Alfredo, what about you? You got any other contender out West?
In the East, it's Chicago and Miami. But in the West, I like Oklahoma City to get out of there. But to push them hard, the Mavericks and the Memphis Grizzlies. And Memphis can draw the side of the bracket that could have them playing the Spurs and the Lakers, maybe. And if they do that, they're in the Western Conference Finals.
Now, let me ask you a question. So, you really think the Grizzlies are title contenders?
Not a title contender, but they're a Western Conference title contender.
Okay, all right. I'm talking about NBA title contenders.
Oh, then we only got three teams. Miami, Chicago, Oklahoma City.
Not even the Mavs?
No.
Okay. And now, Alfredo, who you got winning the whole thing?
I got Miami beating Oklahoma City in six games.
All right. And do you think it's going to be an asterisk put on this championship?
No, because it's going to be pretty evident that they earned it, especially when they're going to be the favorite the following year, too.
All right. Big Shot Ron, who you got winning the whole thing?
Simply, I mean, I'm not going to get into all the psychological reasons and all that. I just think simply the Heat, because they have to. And we talk about with the new CBA, how long can you keep those three guys together under the new rules? So I think while it's not that they can't continue a dynasty for years and years to come, I just think it's going to be harder to do. And we've seen the owners can do what they want to. So I think the Heat win it this year simply because I'll take the team that really needs it right this minute. So I'll take the Heat.
And is it going to have an asterisk next to it?
No, 66 games. If they didn't put an asterisk on 50, why would you put one on 66?
I put an asterisk on 50.
Personally. You put an asterisk on 50? I know you did. You put an asterisk on anything.
I mean, come on. I don't know. We all saw that season. That wasn't regular NBA basketball. All right. So let's talk about the losers. These are losers. I'm talking about teams that are lottery bound, and they know they're lottery bound, and they're happy that they're lottery bound. So, Alfredo, who you got in the East? Who's your lottery lock in the East?
Cleveland. They have no chance whatsoever to sniff what's going to be required, which is at least 30 victories to even sniff the 8th seed. So, all right. Yeah, Cleveland's a lock.
Okay, and the other thing about these losers, these teams, they're not above being accused of tanking either. So, just to
oh, and Cleveland will tank. We're going to see people we never heard of before, just like last year, playing there.
Big shot, Ron, who you got as your losers in the East?
The Charlotte Bobcats. Right. No question, our lottery pick. And in the West, if you talk about a no-doubt lottery pick, there's no doubt about it. I don't care what they say about, oh, they're going to be so excited. The Timberwolves are going back to the lottery this year. So Charlotte and Minnesota are my two locks.
Okay. I agree with you, Big Jermaine. I got the Bobcats out West. I mean, out East. I mean, and Michael Jordan came out and said it. When he started selling off pieces last year, he said he'd rather have a high lottery pick than be the last seed in the playoffs. So they pretty much told you they were going to tank this season. So, Alfredo, who you got as your loser out West?
Out West, I have the same team. Minnesota, they have a lot of nice young pieces, but that's all it is. It's just a bunch of young pieces that they're going to lose at a pretty sustained clip to be right there in the top five again.
Interesting.
And maybe they'll finally fire Khan. Or he'll just take another point guard.
Right. I'm going with the Jazz. The Jazz made it clear when they moved Darren Williams that, freak it, we can't cope. That team has made no moves to even be anywhere near as competitive as they were for the last, for previous seasons. I fully expect them to tank. I expect Al Jefferson to be moved for Derek Favors or benched or sat out with some, ticky-tack injury. Paul Millsap moved or benched with some ticky-tack injury. By March, you won't even recognize that who their starting five is. So that's my pick out West. All right, Alfredo, who you see getting the number one pick?
Cleveland again. And what will be the never-ending circle jerk of Stern and David Van Gilbert.
And who do you
because one small forward leaves town, this guy's going to, they might even rig this thing this year. So, maybe. In fact, I'm going to go ahead and predict it. They're going to get the number one pick, and that'll be the end of their gnashing and gnawing over LeBron James.
And who are they going to use that pick on?
I have no idea.
Okay. Big shot, Ron.
If there's any justice, New Orleans should get this pick. But not even justice. If the league really wants to make this attractive for whoever, New Orleans should get this number one pick. If this is what they really, really want for the bet, for the best for what's that franchise. So I say New Orleans gets one, at least they will be in the top three for sure.
Okay. And you got any feel for who you think they would use that pick on?
Depends on, you know what? The draft this year is deep, but there isn't a consensus best player. Some people say Anthony Davis. Some people say Andre Drummond. But really, this year is all about just getting the first 10. Because if you get in the first 10, you're probably going to get somebody really talented. It's a really deep draft this year.
Okay. I think it's going to be either I'm going with two extremes. I'm going with the straight lottery team, and it's Charlotte. They get the number one pick because Stern promised it to MJ in order to, you know, have him, you know, as a, one, as a makeup for finding him for that, that 100 grand for what he said in Australia, and then for, you know, not getting him the CBA that he really wanted. Or, I, you know, it goes complete full conspiracy theory, and they give it to the Lakers to, you know, kind of appease Jerry Buss for screwing him over the whole Chris Paul thing. All right. Pretenders. These are teams that, you know, yeah, they're playoff teams, but they have no shot of winning the title. So, in the East, I think the Bucks, Sixers, Magic, and Knicks, I don't think have any shot of winning the title. So, those are my pretenders. What about you, Big Chiron?
The biggest pretender of them all is Boston.
Wow. That's,
and in a very similar vein to what I said about San Antonio, the window closes on everybody. KG, Ray, Paul, 47 years combined in the NBA, the compressed schedule, the short season. They're one, I guess not their one, one of their more youthful players. Jeff Green is gone with the heart thing. I think Rajon Rondo's head is somewhere else after the talk of him getting traded for Chris Paul. I think Boston comes to an ugly end. I got them fourth in my preview, but I've been thinking on it more. Boston could be as low as a 6 or a 7. I really think it gets ugly this year.
And you see them going out first round?
Wherever they're seeded, I think they lose their first series.
Wow.
Whether, okay, whether they get 4 or 6, doesn't matter. I think they're 1 and done. I think it officially ends that era.
Okay. Alfredo, what about you?
Well, I disagree on Boston. I think that their familiarity is going to lend to a lot of regular season wins. And I think that they'll go out early in the playoffs. But the biggest pretender is going to be the New York Knicks. I saw an article today that said that if they don't start better than 13-8, that they'll fire Mike D'Antoni. And I was thinking to myself, they should kiss the ground if they start 13-8. That's the type of team that they have. So, you know, will they win 20 games? Will they go 20 games over 500? Maybe. I tend to doubt it. It's going to be close. But the Knicks, their backcourt is terrible against a conference where the better players are on the perimeter. So the Knicks are going to be the biggest disappointment, not because of what they do, but because of the expectations the media is going to put on them.
Hmm. Okay, interesting. All right, let's go out west. Alfredo, who's your pretender out west?
The Los Angeles Lakers.
Okay.
I think that they might even get off to a decent start. People see those uniforms. They see them on, in the playoffs. They see Kobe Bryant. They see Pau Gasol and Andrew Bynum, and they're gonna expect them to, you know, to somehow reach the NBA Finals or even the Western Conference Finals. I think they lose in the first round this year.
Wow!
And that'll be either the complete breakup or, you know, the clearing of the decks to bring in Dwight Howard as a free agent.
Okay.
I got them losing in the first round to Memphis.
Oh, man, you're really on that Memphis bandwagon.
Well, not really. I still got the Lakers as the 4th seed losing to the 5th seed Grizzlies, you know?
Yeah, I just don't understand how the Grizzlies go from being an 8th seed. They add no one. How do they jump 3 spots? I don't see it.
Well, they're adding Rudy Gay.
They had Rudy Gay for half of last season.
Yeah, but you said it, half of last season.
And then they replaced him with Shane Battier, who played about as good as Rudy Gay did.
I disagree.
Okay. Big Shot Ron, who's your pretender out west?
Unfortunately, I think this season was kind of over before it started, and that's Portland. Brandon Roy retirement, Greg Oden done again, and now you got LaMarcus Aldridge with his heart condition, which we know that can be touch and go. I think Portland's season has basically kind of been snatched out from under them before it even started. I got them finishing 8th. Which, with their situation, might even be pretty good. But I think your Alfredo's scenario of Jiro Wallace getting moved by the deadline is the more likely thing to happen. I just kind of think the season has just kind of been unkind to them before it's even started.
Okay. All right. So, with these pretenders, who's going to get blamed, and is anybody going to get fired? Me, personally, I agree with the Knicks out in the East, and I think D'Antoni's going to be fired. But I don't think it's going to happen until after they get, you know, ushered out the playoffs. Alfredo, what do you think? Who gets
I agree with that, too.
Okay.
I got the Knicks firing D'Antoni this season. And
before the playoffs?
Yeah. Maybe before the playoffs. If they're somewhere around the 6th or 7th seed, they can him before the trade deadline.
Wow.
Yeah, I think they have to be in the top 4 in the regular season for him to keep his job going into the playoffs.
Okay.
Because I could see them easily if we're down to 15 games and they're somewhere around the 7th seed, I could easily see them just, canning D'Antoni and giving the job to Woodson there for the interim.
Right.
You know? And then hoping that they can draw a big-name coach in the offseason.
Mm-hmm. Well, D'Antoni said that he hired Woodson because he felt, and I'm assuming that the Knicks felt, or I guess Glenn Grunwald, the interim GM, felt that Woodson could be the next head coach. So if they fired D'Antoni, Woodson might get the job full-time, and they might not look for anybody else. But
mm-hmm.
We'll see. Big Shot Ron, who do you think gets blamed for these pretenders flaming out in the East or the West?
I'm going to tell you the one who's going to get fired if they don't get off to a good start. You talk about D'Antoni. We'll talk about another Italian coach. Vinny Del Negro, I believe, Clippers don't get off to a high start, will be gone sooner than later. Don't think the Clippers brought Chris Paul in there to be coached by Vinny Del Negro. This is about as interim a job as you can possibly have. If the Clippers don't get off 20-10, 20-12 to start the year, Vinny Del Negro is not the long-term coach, and he will be launched sooner than later. The Clippers don't start well.
Okay. All right. I like it. Big Shot Ron, you big
guy. That's coming from a Bulls fan, so he speaks of experience.
Hey.
I lived through the Vinny Del Negro experience. I'm telling you, if you're the Clippers and you really want Chris Paul and Griffin to stay there long term, it will not be with Vinny Del Negro as the coach. Trust me.
I agree. All right. The Snoozers. These are the sleeper teams. Teams that could possibly go to the conference finals by either surprising people or if things break right. So for me in the East, my snoozer is the Celtics. Because if somebody gets hurt on Boston or Miami or Chicago, I think the Celtics can easily storm right their way right to the conference finals and into the finals. Alfredo, what do you think?
My snoozer team is Atlanta. They could be anything from the 8th seed. They could be a lottery team. They could be the 8th seed, or they could be as high as the 4, maybe even the 3 seed in overall wins. They could catch the right draw and be healthy enough where they can catch a beat-up and old Celtics team. You know, and they can find themselves maybe in the conference finals. So Atlanta's a team that I don't think nobody can really peg exactly what they're going to be this year.
Okay. What about you, Big Shot Ron?
If they're healthy and they don't kill each other with the personalities they could, Milwaukee is a team that's going to be a tough matchup in the playoffs because under Scott Skiles, they'll play defense for sure. But with Jennings, Captain Jack, and Scott Skiles, that trio together, if they don't shoot each other, Milwaukee could be a team that is a real, real tough opening round, second round series for somebody. Again, I still think it's Miami, Chicago, and everybody else. But if you're looking for a surprise in the East, it's Milwaukee if they don't kill each other.
Well, wait a minute now. So you're saying that because in your season preview, you had Milwaukee 7th, you had Chicago 2nd. So that means you think the Bucks can upset the Bulls?
No, not really. But, again, Milwaukee can make life difficult for you because with Skiles, they're going to defend. We know Captain Jack is crazy. And Brandon Jennings, despite how weird I think he is as a person,
right,
has talent. And if they play hard, play together, they can put the Bulls in a 6-7 game series, which takes some of the starch out of them going forward.
You see what he's doing there, Alfredo? He's doing the reverse jinx thing.
Yeah, it's a little passive aggressiveness there.
All right. For the Western Conference, my sleeper is, I mean, it's no surprise here, it's the Clippers. I think I had them finishing 3rd in the West, but it wouldn't surprise me if they went to the finals. If everybody stays healthy. Big Shot Ron, who's your sleeper out West?
I mean, I was going to use my Memphis thing, but I think me and Alfredo's kind of stolen that one. So the Lakers all of a sudden become the sleeper now.
Oh, wow.
I think everyone feels like this is not a vintage Lakers team. There's no Odom. Bynum is kind of iffy with the injuries. Can Kobe carry the load? I think the Lakers now become a sleeper, which is an unfamiliar role because of all the hype with the Clippers. The Grizzlies, me and Alfredo love them. And Dallas kind of not being sure. The Lakers could sneak back into the Western Conference Finals. I still don't think they're good enough, though, to return to the finals.
Okay. Alfredo, who's your sleeper in the West?
My sleeper team out West is the team that nobody wants to talk about, mainly because they're so boring, and that's the San Antonio Spurs.
Oh, my God.
Now, nobody wants to talk about them. Yeah, they're old. You know, Tim Duncan, by the way, is in great shape this season. Last year, they did lose in the first round to the Memphis Grizzlies, but Manu Ginobili broke his arm. Do they win that series if Ginobili's healthy? I don't know. The Spurs won the games that they won last year, and it wasn't by accident. Who's to say that, you know, with all of this rest, with the lockout being out in the first round last year, that they don't come, fresh, catch a decent seed, maybe a 3 seed out West, and find themselves in the finals against the Miami Heat? It wouldn't shock me at all. So they're the sleeper, namely because everybody's already getting ready to write the obituary on that big three. And they just might have one last run.
See, I don't count them as a sleeper. I didn't pick them as my sleeper because I think they're going to have the best record in the conference. So,
wow.
All right. So, with the sleepers, who's going to get the credit for these teams if they pull off the upsets? For me, if the Celtics end up going to the finals or the conference finals, I think KG gets another fat extension. Alfredo, who do you think is going to get the credit in a surprise contract from the
Well, Atlanta, if Atlanta does what I suspect that they can do, I think Joe Johnson gets talked about as one of the best, two guards in the league and maybe a top 10 player when he doesn't deserve it. I think he gets elevated because, first of all, for them to do that, he's going to have a spectacular season. So he'll get elevated to where he's never been before, where it's like top 10 status, top 10 NBA player status. And maybe on the periphery of MVP talk. That's the type of season he's going to have to do that. Wow. And San Antonio, it's obvious. It's going to be Popovich. He's going to be like the next, Phil Jackson, Red Auerbach type. Everybody's going to talk about him as the best coach in maybe sports.
I thought they did that already.
It's died a little bit.
All right, Big Shot Ron, who do you think gets credit for your sleeper pick?
Well, first of all, if Atlanta is the sleeper pick, my man Jay Navajo is probably cringing because he is the least favorite. Joe Johnson is his least favorite player maybe in the history of Atlanta sports. If Alfredo's prediction comes true, I can hear my man Jay Nav rolling over in his grave right now about Joe Johnson being MVP of anything. But if Milwaukee is that sleeper pick, Scott Skiles will get an extension, which is probably the worst thing that can happen for Milwaukee. But anyone knows Scott Skiles, after about year 3 or 4, gets on everybody's nerves.
Right. And
absolutely kill them. So he'll get the credit to the detriment of the Bucks. If the Lakers get to the conference finals, you'll hear, and I'm not even going to get into this conversation, the Kobe Bryant better than Mike talk begins if the Lakers sniff any parts of the finals this year.
That is
I
true.
Agree with that.
That would be true. All right, so we're winding down. You guys got us some more time to hang around?
Sure. I got a few.
All right, that's it for part 2 of the 2012 NBA season preview. Everything from the trade deadline all the way through the playoffs. For part 3, postseason awards, go to heatcast.blogspot.com. Check it out on iTunes.